This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcorton Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service, atfcu.com. All right, Touchdown Turnover, Admiral Schofield coming back. He will average 18 or more points per game in a senior year. 18 or more points.
I
will say 20, but that's a lot. 18 or more points.
I go turnover, but I don't go turnover because of Admiral. I just think there's so many weapons on Tennessee's basketball team within their offense that he doesn't need to average 18 points, and I don't think that he should lead the team in shots, but he doesn't need to average 18 a game, so I don't think he will average 18 a game. I mean, you're going to have Jordan Bowden taking threes. You'll have Jordan Bone hopefully more consistently 10 points a game. Hopefully you'll have Lamonte Turner's going to get his 10 to 12 every game and then explode for 20 or so every now and then. And that's not even considering Kyle Alexander and his lob or dunk or two a game and his offensive rebound putback. And then on top of that, you return the SEC Player of the Year in Grant Williams, who should be averaging 15 or so as well. So I don't think it's a product of Admiral just not producing that much. I just think he won't average 18 because of how many weapons are within the offense.
If the team produces at the level that they need to produce, he doesn't need to score 18 points a game. Even on top of the players that you mentioned, ideally – pieces like Yves Pons, Jalen Johnson will start producing.
Derek Walker.
Maybe you can get 5 points a game out of those guys.
Hopefully John Fulkerson gets back to
Derek Walker.
Himself.
John Fulkerson's team is going to be so deep. Oh, my gosh, man. Zach Kent.
Yeah.
Zach Kent, another dude, 6'10", man.
Can step out and knock down some threes.
Best case scenario, this team is going to have so many pieces that are able to produce on the offensive end. Admiral doesn't need to do that. I will say, I think his points per game average, it was 13.9 this season. I'll bump that up to 15. 15, 16, I'll say he gets there. But 18 points a game, if Tennessee is playing the way they need to play, he doesn't need to do that. And I think he, to me, right now looking at it, preseason SEC Player of the Year, Admiral Schofield, he probably won't be, but should be. Just in terms of his potential coming into the season, I think he is that level of player. The way that he played down the stretch for Tennessee, he's a world beater. Just really brought it night in and night out, was consummate leader for this team. But Tennessee just has so many pieces, man. It's crazy to talk about this team and how deep and talented they are, but it is what it is. They got a good squad over there. And so I'm excited. It's going to be a good season, I think.
11.3 field goal attempts per game for Admiral Schofield. This is coming off of only 6 attempts the previous year. Admiral Schofield putting in a ton of work in the offseason, improving his confidence to where he shot the ball 5 more times per game and made more shots. Obviously, his point per game average went up. He tested the NBA waters, probably got some really good feedback, things that he needs to work on as well. He's going to come back. He's going to work that much harder. And what happens when you work hard and you improve, your confidence level also improves too. Averaging 14 points per game this previous year, it's hard for me to believe that he won't add 4 points. That is 2 buckets. That is 1 bucket per half. That's adding 1 bucket per half to what he did last year would be 18 points per game. I'm going to say touchdown. I think that he's a guy that can create his own shot. He's one of the few guys that can create his own shot with this team. And he can face you up. He can shoot right in your face. He's big enough to where he can take you in the paint and have advantage over smaller guys. I just don't see how he won't improve his point per game by 4 points. I mean, that is 2 points per half. So, yes, everybody else, they're good. They'll be improving. But I'm sorry, everyone else did not have a chance to go talk to NBA scouts, be worked out by NBA players, NBA coaches, and I'm pretty sure Admiral Schofield's head is huge right now, and not in a bad way. I'm talking about in a good way. This is a good thing. You know exactly where you're strong at. You know exactly where you're weak at. You can work on those things, minimize those weaknesses, and then be an even better player for your basketball team this year. I'm saying touchdown. He averages 18 points per game. And maybe some of the other guys' points total go down. Maybe this team is more explosive on offense and they put up more points. I don't know. But I think Admiral Schofield will be a player that averages 18 points per game and be SEC Player of the Year. That's my prediction.
If he does average 18, he's SEC Player of the Year and a late first-round draft pick.
I hope.
I agree.
Late first round, very early second round.
I hope so.
Mm-hmm.
No, I hope so. Let's get to Charles. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, man.
Hey, Charles. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Swain. I tell you what, man, I can't wait till the Tennessee comes to play my Tigers in Memphis. That's going to be fun.
I can't wait to see Tennessee whoop up on your Tigers,
Charles,
in Memphis.
Charles, you know I can't deal with this. You know this is really hard.
I know how you feel, man.
Hey, you and Vol Nation, man. I don't see how y'all do it. I'm letting y'all slide because I like y'all.
Well,
I don't see how you do it.
There's a lot of people in Memphis that are like me now, and you know because where Memphis sits on the map. A lot of Memphis fans, they're Tiger basketball fans, but they could be Ole Miss football fans. I know some that are Alabama football fans, Tennessee football fans, Mississippi State football fans. But most people, most people in Memphis are Tiger basketball fans. That's just because of proximity or where Memphis sits.
I get it.
It's just the way it is, man.
It's weird to me.
I know. I know. And when they don't play the Tigers, I like to see Tennessee do well. I do in basketball. I mean, I go back to the Michael Brooks days. I'm older than you guys. Michael Brooks went to Melrose. I go back to those days. So I like to see Tennessee do well and play and do well in college basketball. But I'm just a Tigers fan. But that's not why I call.
Why you call, Charles?
I want to ask you about. So I read on Twitter a couple of days ago that, and you guys are going to touch on this here in a little bit. Selling alcohol in SEC stadiums. I don't know if I've ever heard of a worse idea. To be totally honest with you, I think I just don't think it's a good idea, Swain. I think there's too many bad things that can happen. I know you guys are going to probably talk about that, but I hope that never comes to pass. There's enough drinking outside the stadiums. Why do they need to sell? I know why they're doing it, for money, but I just don't see the upside in it, man. I just think there's too many bad things that could happen.
I asked Greg Sankey about this at SEC Media Days last year directly. And, yeah, he stays vehement about it sort of for the reason I think that you're talking about, where it's just sort of the cons might outweigh the pros here. Because people are already so rowdy, and they come to the games just obliterated a lot of the time already. So why add fuel to the fire? I don't know. I would look at the NFL as a model. I think you would have a very similar thing happen in college football where people don't have to get as slammed outside of the stadium, and then you can come in and spend your money.
But Charlie, we're talking about two different kinds of fan bases.
That's true.
It's not even the same.
Yeah.
That's not.
I mean, it's not even comparable.
It's not.
You're comparing apples to oranges. The NFL fans and college football fans, especially SEC fans, are totally different.
No, I agree.
I mean, there's not even. I mean,
well, it's a bunch of college students.
Even Georgia. I mean, Atlanta Falcons fans are different from Georgia Bulldog fans. I mean, it's not even.
Yeah.
There is no good reason to sell alcohol inside of an SEC stadium.
You know what? I kind of agree with you. I don't see a reason because it can't be just for money. You're making tons of money.
Exactly.
The SEC. I mean, and honestly, when I was in college, you didn't really want to buy a drink at the club anyways. You pre-gamed. So, I mean, why would you even want to buy a bunch of drinks at a game anyways and get busted over the head for $25 for two drinks? I mean, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense at all. But anyway, I'm going to hang up and listen. You guys have a great show.
Hey, thank you, Charles.
But why would you want to pay those concession stand prices? Like, I'm a guy who I don't drink a whole lot. Like, I bought a six-pack for the Super Bowl, and four of those beers are still sitting in my refrigerator. I just don't like the taste of beer, so I'm not going to waste the money that I don't have on buying that beer. Also not going to spend that $6, $7, $8 that will be the concession stand price at Neyland Stadium to buy beer there. Well, yeah, Charlie's right. It's more than that. I'm talking soft drinks. Beers are like $10 to $15. Mm-hmm. If I don't like beer in the first place, I'm not going to drink. So I truly don't care about SEC alcohol sales. I mean, I guess it would bring in a lot more revenue considering where we live in the time we live in. But
I would just like to see it to see if the theory is right. Could we do it on a trial basis? Do it for three games out of the season and see how people respond? Because, I mean, people show up. Like I said, people show up blasted anyway. So why not let them get blasted in the stadium and take their money?
if you turn up the way you're supposed to turn up in your tent,
you don't need to buy it in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, simple as that.
I mean, the student section would take that course of action. I think they would all get loaded up at the fraternity house.
They already do
come
do
over
that.
To the game. You know,
they yeah, already they, do.
They
that.
Do. Yeah, I.
Yeah, it's not something. It's not. I'm with Ben. It's not something I'm passionate about either.
I'm not either. I think it's an interesting topic. I genuinely don't.
I'm more interested in the money aspect of it rather than the actual drinking alcohol at games aspect of it.
There. Well, I'll say this: there are stadiums in college sports where alcohol can be bought. I've gone to a whole bunch of Louisville basketball games at Yum Center. The Yum Center's in downtown Louisville. You can buy. There's a lounge that's Woodford Reserve Lounge, and it's not. Things don't get out of hand in there. But that's basketball compared to football. So
we'll take a break and return. We'll get on the phone with Jabbar Davis, former Vol running back, and Jabbar's doing some awesome things in the community. Big time youth football camp coming up. We will discuss that and what Jabbar has going on right now. Get his take on Tennessee football today as well. So stay with us. Jabbar Davis joins us next.
Hour two of the Swain event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerrica Steele with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerrica Steele is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jarrett, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jerrica Steele a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jerrica Steele and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
Top 100 Barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue isn't just a great place to go for dinner. They have fantastic lunch specials every day. Monday through Friday, they offer great deals on different meals each day. Dead End Barbecue has the smoke and sweet meal with half-smoked chicken, a side, choice of bread and banana pudding on Monday, brisket French dip on Tuesday, salmon salad on Wednesday, Thursday is the cold smoked turkey BLT, and center cut boning pork chop on Friday. Not to mention, you can get a bowl of beans and smoked sausage for $6 every day. So when you are looking for somewhere to go for lunch during the week, look no further than Top 100 Barbecue Restaurant Dead End Barbecue. Check them out online at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, your lunch search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. The next thing you know, you're being arrested for DUI. Be responsible, but remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call DUI and criminal defense attorney Marcos Garza. Put this number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty, say Garza. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
Jabari Davis, the Gator Killer, J-Train. Now, a couple weeks ago, I made this observation about how Tennessee needs to recruit, and that is finding guys who look like they're 30. And I use the example of Jabari from his high school days, from Tucker High School. And Jabari, just answer this question. When you were coming out of high school, if you would have walked into an adult beverage store, would you have been carded, yes or no?
Probably not.
That's the key, Juice, for Tennessee getting back, man, is recruiting guys like you who look like grown men when they come into school, man. Grown men. Juice, what up?
Yeah, you're right, man. We got to start recruiting kids with full beard.
Exactly, man. Simple as that, man. Juice, a lot of good things going on right now for Tennessee, Tennessee football program, a lot of positivity. And I include Darren Kirkland Jr. in there. It's not like it was a huge blow one way or the other, but glad that he's back. But just as a whole, a lot of good things happening. And one of the things that's really, really special about what is happening here soon, actually, June 14th through the 16th, is the Legends of Tennessee football camp. And for a couple years, Coach Former, AD of Tennessee, he had a camp that was ran there in Gatlinburg. And a lot of foreign players would come and work the camp for him. But when Coach Former took over as a Tennessee athletic director, the camp had to kind of go away. Well, you took over this camp, and you are running it, and you have folks like yourself obviously involved, Eric Westmoreland, D'Angelo Lloyd, Cedric Houston, Tony Robinson, Gerald Riggs, A.J. Johnson, Fred White, Chris Treese, myself will be coaches. We'll be there to coach and develop and teach. And this is going to be a 3-day camp. And man, this camp looks like it's going to be really, really, really fun, Jabari. Kind of tell us when Coach Former took over the job. Like, how did you get it? Like, kind of what was the process? What was the conversation like between you and Coach when you officially took over the camp?
Well, I still thought that Coach was going to run the camp until right around the end of March when Tennessee had a junior day. And I went on campus to watch practice for the first time. And I ran into Coach and I asked him about the camp. And he said that
he couldn't do it. So he said that Jabari Ewing. Eric Westmoreland did a great job of running the camp for me for 2 years. Why don't you, you know, take it over? And I was like, okay. You know, it was a big thing that my boys did during the summer. You know, and with me being a youth football coach, we would always go down just to get some team bonding in, work on some skill training and some football development right before the season started. And I just wanted to keep that thing going, man. Also, you know, with us being former balls, it was a great time for us just to hang out 3 days, you know, just to get away from family and, you know, a lot of things that we have going on business-wise and this and that. And it's for us to, you know, talk about UT football and just be around kids, man. So I wanted to continue to do that, and I wanted to continue to get you guys back involved as coaches and just really to, you know, have a big camp for East Tennessee. Because I know football camps are really special during the summer. I mean, when it comes to development, when it comes to training, and when it comes to just, you know, teaching these kids life skills so they can take it back to their community.
I was thinking, I mean, this is the summer, and you know this too. You got kids running around that's out of school. If you just want to use this camp as daycare, it's okay. Drop your kids off for a couple hours, and hey, we'll teach them some football skills, and like you just said, teach them some life skills. But we are okay with you looking at this campus like a daycare. It's all good. It's, you know, you need something to do during the summer. And I think that's really, really important. Not everyone's going to go to the next level and play D1 football, but there's just so many skills that you acquire from football. And there's a lot of kids out here that just need football. You're not going to maybe go get a scholarship, but again, you just learn so much. How to get up after getting knocked down. How to mentally fight through a little injury where you think you're hurt, but yeah, I mean, you got a little sore ankle, but mentally just fighting through, because those are skills that you're going to have to use when you get older. When you don't feel like getting up and going to work, you have to mentally push through, because if you don't, your bills won't be paid. And so football just man, it just gives us so much. And a lot of our young men, they need it. I mean, quite frankly, they need football.
And, you know, I mentioned this in the article that they did about the camp, I think, last week about, you know, kids need coaches more than ever right now. You know, this generation is facing a lot of battles on and off the field. And I'm a coach, you know, and I teach life skills. You know, I use the game of football just to, you know, teach it as a vehicle to get in certain doors in your life. But I don't care if a kid makes it to the NFL. I don't care if you go to college with it. You know, it really depends on, you know, what direction you're in, not in high school. But, you know, the discipline, the teamwork, the life skills, the, you know, the football discipline that you get can really make an impact on a kid's life and be inspirational. You know, we don't even really know how inspirational we are, you know, as form of balls, but being around these kids, and a lot of these kids don't have that type of coaching. You know, a lot of these kids come from small cities, and, you know, they need to be, you know, just to be around positive male role models, because they don't have it in their homes, they don't have it in their schools, and they don't have it in the community. So 3 days can be a lot for a young man, and it really changes life.
3 day camp, 3 days. You don't get a football camp unless you go to like a college or somewhere like that to get a 3 day camp. So for you to be able to take Coach Fulmer's camp, that was also 3 days, and keep the structure of the camp the same. I don't know if people really understand how hard it is to have a 3 day camp. That means that you have to provide lodging for the coaches. That means you need to have a trainer on site for 3 days. There's a lot to go into it, and you've been doing a good job of going out, getting sponsorships to alleviate some of those costs. Provide, you know, lunch, make sure that the kids leave away with some type of gear. In this case, they'll get a T-shirt, they get autographs, they get prizes. I just mentioned lunch, but it's a 3 day camp. It starts June the 14th. On a Thursday, and it goes to Saturday, June the 16th, from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Northview Academy Football Stadium there at 2719 Northview Academy Lane in Kodak, Tennessee. Jabbar, how can people sign up? Because it's easier for folks to pre-register. It can be a madhouse sometimes when you're running camps and you have a lot of walk-ups. Now, you appreciate the walk-ups, but it's just so much easier to have the guys pre-register so you can kind of know how many you have, how many groups that you can, you know, split them up into. It just makes it a whole lot easier on the people running the camp. How can people pre-register?
Well, all the information is on the flyer that I will retweet. And I will get you to retweet. It's UT Legends Football Camp .eventbrite.com. If anybody has any questions for me specifically, you can email me at CoachDavis34@gmail.com. We prefer to get everybody pre-registered if you want to do the full 3 days, but if you want to pay partially, because a lot of kids and a lot of parents can make all 3 days. But if you want to pay partially and just come day by day, or just come for one day, you can register at the camp site, you know, at our table. And this is going to be a lot of great things going on, man. But you're right, Swain. It's been a hassle just over the last couple of weeks, man, just raising money and doing different things like that. But I just want to give a shout-out to Ball Nation and just a lot of people that have helped me behind the scenes put this thing together for 3 days. We got a lot of different sponsors coming out to help out with food, to help out with drinks, to help out with tents. We got snow cones for the kids. We got barbecue for the kids. Man, we got it all. And, you know, without your help and without a few people in the community, and definitely Tennessee, man, this thing could have never really happened, because we just started really promoting this thing at the end of March. So we didn't have a full 6 months to really get this camp kind of structured properly. So everything is just taking off, man. Over the last couple of weeks, we did a big fundraiser at Tennessee Tap House, raised around $3,000 to help out with camp fees and expenses, and just to make sure everybody has what they need to be successful and to have fun for 3 days. So I appreciate your help, man.
Out of the 10 coaches I see that's going to be involved, 10 former players, this includes, again, you, Tony Robinson, myself, Gerald Riggs, A.J. Johnson, Fred White, Chris Tree, Cedric Houston, D'Angelo Lloyd, and Eric Westmoreland. Which one of those guys would you pick out to possibly go into the circle of life with? If you had to choose which coach you had to match up with in the circle of life, who are you picking?
I'm going to go with a linebacker, man. I'm going to go with Eric Westmoreland, man. I'm going to pick him out.
He's still in shape, though. He looks like he's in shape.
Yeah, he's in shape, man. All of us are in decent shape.
No, not all of us.
You know what? I really had to
pick. Not all of us, bro.
You're still in decent shape.
No,
man. You're not out of shape completely,
bro. I listen. I need like an inhaler when I cut the grass right now. I'm out of shape. I would probably
pick. That's the great thing about doing this football camp, man. Hopefully, in 3 days we can knock out 10 pounds.
Maybe, man. Maybe, because you know, I know it's gonna be hot.
Yeah,
I would probably pick Tony Robinson. I'm picking Tony Robinson. I mean,
why are you gonna pick on T Rob like that?
Because he's the oldest.
Yeah, he's the old guy.
He's the oldest. I'm trying to win. I ain't got nothing to prove. I'm trying to win. I'm picking Tony Robinson. Sorry, Tony. You the oldest, bro. You the oldest. I gotta go after you first, man. All right, so June 14th through the 16th, 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. You can register there online. Email Jabbar Davis at CoachDavis34@gmail. Register online at utlegendscamp.eventbrite.com. Juice, I want to get your take on kind of what's going on with Tennessee football. I saw one of our own, Jamal Lewis, an article come out about how he's fighting depression, how he was suicidal, dealing with those concussions and possibly CTE. And that position of running back, man, it's a brutal position. To play in the SEC for 3 or 4 years, that's one thing. But to go into the NFL and play, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of just straight up pounding every single day, it takes a toll on you. And it was heartbreaking to kind of see what Jamal is fighting with every single day. And, you know, your words are very, very encouraging. And I'm not saying that anything like that is going on with Darren Kirkland Jr., but I am saying the kid's been injured, like seriously injured for the last 2 years. You had a high ankle sprain, you had a knee, then you have a coaching staff coming in. And I'll say this again, I'm not saying that Kirkland Jr. and Jamal Lewis are on the same page at all, but what I am saying is injuries, man, injuries do things to you. Psychologically, right. Emotionally. And if you just haven't played the game, if you don't know someone that's played the game at a high level and have experienced that, you just don't know. I think sometimes fans look at these athletes and they just look at them as like robots, or you know, they don't have feelings, or they don't have battles that they deal with every single day. And it kind of breaks my heart to see what Jamal Lewis is going through right now. Because many people saw him as a superhero, someone that could not be hurt at all. And now he's someone that battles a serious, serious illness, which is depression.
Well, you know, I talked to Jamal about 2 weeks ago. He called me about his new thing that he has, Ignite Football. And he wanted to get my kids registered on his new website. But I never knew he was battling these issues. I know an article came out a few years ago about him having, you know, flashes of CTE and, you know, and not doing so well financially. But you're absolutely right, Swain. And when I read that article, like, my heart just dropped. You know, Jamal has been on my mind, you know, all day, man, all last night, all day, because, you know, he was a guy that I looked up to growing up in Atlanta. You know, people always compared me to him in high school and even at Tennessee, you know, just the way that we ran the ball, even physical appearances and things like that. So I'm definitely praying for him and his kids and his family, and I definitely think we need to be close to him and, you know, give him all that love that he needs right now. But you're right, man, battling the injury my senior year. You know, I battled a hamstring issue that really affected my whole senior year, you know, and my opportunity of making it to the NFL and, you know, having a long career like I dreamed of having. And when that ends, you know, a lot of guys just don't transition into life, to real life, the way that they need to, because we've been doing something all of our life for 20 plus years. And when it's snatched away because of an injury, or when you're battling different, you know, illnesses or different medical issues, they really don't teach us how to get out of that by playing football. And that's the reason family is so important. That's the reason having great faith is so important. But when it goes to, I mean, when you're talking about Darren Kirkland Jr., I mean, the kid is still young. I mean, what is he, 19, 20? I mean, look how many decisions we made that we, you know, were not absolutely correct on, and sometimes you just feel like getting away. And I definitely feel that, you know, he has a lot going on right now. Sometimes you just want a brand new start. And what direction can I go in? You know, it seems like everything has been, you know, happening kind of bad at Tennessee. But I think after we talk to him and, you know, just let him know that, hey, we're going to support him, we're going to give you every opportunity to be successful in this defense, take your time, keep working out. You know, and you'll be back to the ODK that you were your freshman year. But you're absolutely right. A lot of people think that we're robots, that we don't have feelings, that we don't deal with a lot of emotional issues. But, I mean, we're just people. I mean, once we take those helmets off and we take those cleats off, we're regular old people that deal with the same type of things that everybody else deals with in life. We have one thing is being football players. You kind of hide those issues a lot. So when it's us dealing with the trials and tribulations of life, people react and say, wow, well, how come you made that decision? Or, wow, why are you dealing with all these issues? You had all the fame, you had all the glory, you had all the money. People would dream of being in your shoes. But it doesn't happen that way, man. We're just regular old people that deal with the same things in life that everybody else deals with. And it just takes us, you know, sometimes a little longer just to transition into those real life lessons that everybody else deals with.
Jabari, I don't mean to switch the topic because that is a very sensitive topic, but I'd love to get your opinion on Tennessee's running back room for this upcoming season. I don't know how much you've been able to see of Jeremy Banks, incoming freshman from Cordova High School in West Tennessee, or Madre London, the Michigan State grad transfer, but what are your expectations for Tennessee's running back room with Ty Chandler coming back and some new guys entering the fold?
I just want to see us, you know, just come back to the same type of playing style that I'm used to seeing. You know, just running the ball effectively. You know, running downhill, moving chains, winning in short yardage situations, winning on the goal line, and you know, just taking a lot of pressure off, you know, the passing game. What I saw from, and what's his name again, number three,
Ty Chandler.
Ty Chandler. You know, I saw some flashes of him being a really special back, you know, the same type of running back that we recruited coming out of Nashville. And I think he'll get there, but he needs somebody behind him, like the kid coming from Memphis, you know, to really push him. I think the kid from Memphis is really what we're used to seeing as far as physically, being a 6'2 body, 215, 220 pounds. I think he'll be a good change of pace for Chandler. But we just got to get him in the camp. I don't know if he's reported already, but if we can get him on campus and, you know, kind of get him developed, you know, working on his speed and strength and just making sure that he can, you know, transition to that role very effectively by the time we put pads on. But I think we'll see some good things, man, as far as with the running back position. We just got to stay healthy. I know that really hurt us really at all positions over the last 2 years, but I really like what the strength coach is doing now, as far as, you know, making these guys lift heavy during the spring, because we were kind of, you know, weak in that department, if you ask me, because of so many different strength coaches and guys really not speaking to a certain level like they needed to in the weight room. But if these guys bust their butt in that weight room in this offseason, I think we'll be very successful and be healthy throughout the season.
One last question, Jabari, 30 seconds. You are standing in front of Mark Cuban and all those guys there at the Shark Tank, and you are telling those people of why their sons should, or daughters, attend the Legends of Tennessee football camp. What are you saying to them?
Well, first of all, this is a ball football camp with some of the best balls that ran through Neyland Stadium. You're going to have great people just loving on you for 3 days. We're going to get these kids inspired to be successful in life, not just football. We're going to get them motivated to be, you know, really good kids in their community and also really good football players on their team. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have some great barbecue, have some great ice cream. It's an opportunity for us to, you know, really link up and tell some old Tennessee football stories to the kids and just, you know, just teach them all the skills that they need, man, so they can take it back home and be impactful in their community. So I think it's a great football camp, and I know it's going to be one of the best football camps that they will see this summer.
I like it, man. I agree 100%, man. We've been doing this thing for a long time, Jabari, doing camps. And so each and every year it gets better and better because your communication skills with these young men continues to improve. And you go to these coaching clinics, you know, each and every year, so you learn more things. And so I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped to be a part of it, and I can't wait to see you guys. And Jabari, thanks so much for your time. We will tweet this out. And let me know if you need me. I got your back 100%, my friend. So, Jabari, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank y'all for having me on, man. I appreciate it. Y'all boys keep working hard.
All right. Jabari Davis, former Vol running back, joins us, and we'll take a quick break. Quick break. And we'll be joined by David Ubin. of The Athletic, and he's going to cover Tennessee.
We'll ask him how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, he's going to cover Tennessee for The Athletic, and he's down there to SC Media Days, SC Spring Meeting, sorry, and we'll get his take about Nick Saban, Jerry Pruitt, the rest of the SEC, but he is now covering Tennessee for The Athletic. And
I think good
to finally meet him.
I think we need to pray over him as well now that he will be covering Tennessee.
Oh, he's in the beat.
We're going to pray over him.
Oh, yeah, we might need to. Let's do that during the break. Swain Event, be right back.
Hour two of the Swain Event is brought to you by Premier Surgical Associates. Visit PremierSurgical.com to find out about the procedures and services they offer to help you live a better life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly here with our Men on Football and Smoothie segment. Let's discuss some of our favorite smoothies and how they impact our lives. TK, man, tell me which smoothie comes to mind when you think about playing defense.
Swaino, the Peanut Butter Power Plus and the Power Punch Plus provide the energy needed to make plays every time they take the field. Then you have the Gladiator and the Hulk, nutrition every dominant player has to have. Bottom line, everyone wants to be a dominant player. Now, Swain, you tell me about the offensive side of the ball.
TK, it's simple. You always score with Smoothie King. The Shredder personifies what we are going to do to opposing defenses. The Berry Punch and Activator will light up the scoreboard. And in case we need to go into overtime, the Pure Recharge will put us over the top for the win.
Swaino, you know I love football and Smoothie King. I'm a VFL, a Smoothie King for life. The Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter. Oh, that's my go-to smoothie. They get a chest bump all day.
Yes, sir. This concludes our Men on Football and Smoothie King segment for today. Don't forget the Sip-by-Sip program. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll feel and see the difference. Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Delicious and nutritious.
TK. Don't forget the peanut butter. Yeah, boy.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain Event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Just pray during the break for David Oven. This is the reason why, David. I want you to know this because the Tennessee football beat is like an SEC football schedule. It is brutal. These fans, man, oh man! I know you saw Gresciano Sunday. These fans were not having it, and these Tennessee fans are passionate. We welcome you to the beat. We welcome you to Knoxville, and thanks so much for joining the show, David. Really, really appreciate it, and congratulations on your new gig with The Athletic. I am very excited about The Athletic, and I'm excited about you covering Tennessee. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, guys. I'm excited and itching to get started. Yesterday was, I guess, technically my first day down here in Destin, and relatively uneventful, but, you know, I suppose for a random May day, you know, getting back a linebacker is about as newsy as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Did you catch Nick Saban, like most of us caught Nick Saban? I'm trying to be nice when I say this, but basically being a hypocrite with some of the things that he is saying. I mean, I don't know if he understands this, but we know kind of what the things that he said in the past, and it just seems very hypocritical. You know, he kind of stole the show yesterday with his comments about grad transfers and about complaining about the playoffs and team, you know, being at a disadvantage if they win late in the season. Were you sitting there kind of thinking to yourself, like, come on, Nick, this is kind of silly, man. You sound like a hypocrite right now.
Well, I mean, I think I a little bit. I can understand what he's talking about. When he's talking about the playoff, it's kind of like, okay, listen. Alabama, you can call us and complain when Alabama misses a playoff. That's when he's allowed to complain about the playoff. That's when everyone complains about the playoff. But until they miss one, until they miss a national championship game again, you know, we'll see. But yeah, I mean, I think for sure it's going to fall on deaf ears. I think anytime, you know, anyone associated with the Crimson Tide is asking for sympathy, that's going to be a tough sell for fans of any program, much less Tennessee.
David, I'm cannot be more serious here. I'm not trying to set you up or anything, but I would advise this question. Be careful with what you say. Tennessee fans have a struggle with national media. You are coming from a national media background. What has your perception been of Tennessee outside looking in so far? Oh, did he drop off?
Oop. He dropped off.
Yeah, we'll call it.
That's never happened before.
It was your question.
He was like, nope, I got a dip.
No, he's like, man, you ain't. I'm not trying to set you up, a.k.a. I'm setting you up. I'm out of here. Y'all trying to set me up. Yeah, give him a call back because that's a really good question. I
want to know.
I mean, coming from that background where you are covering a team for a national outlet and then you come in here and you kind of more boots on the ground, and this is different. Like, this is a different style. I mean, there's so many people that have come here, the Austin Wards of the world, the Andrew Gribbles of the world, who've come here.
Yeah.
And they've been here for like a year. You know, the Brendan Quinns, who's now covering Michigan basketball, you know, they've been here for a year, and they were like, I'm good. Like, I'm good. And so it's good to get a new face on the beat. I'll say that.
I'm excited to have an outside perspective on things, because specifically there's not a lot of that representation on the beat right now. Most of us guys on the beat went to Tennessee.
It's weird, man. Being honest. We got David back.
Okay, we got him back. So, David, did you hear my full question there?
I didn't. I think Nick Saban came on and cut me off.
Yeah, it was definitely Nick, for sure.
So here's the question. Like I said, I'm not trying to set you up, but Tennessee fans have been at odds with national media, specifically big time, since the Schiano fiasco. You come from a national media background. What has your perception been of Tennessee outside looking in?
I mean, certainly the hiring process was bungled. I mean, it cost, you know, a lot of people their job, including Mike Leach, sadly. But no, I think, you know, I thought Shiano was a bad hire also, but I also thought that you know, certainly associating the displeasure with Shiano with the really flimsy, you know, Penn State stuff was not a good look. But, you know, I thought, you know, you look at how things went at in the NFL for him and how, you know, disliked he was by players and how ugly the exit was, you know, not to mention the Mercer stuff in Tampa. I think certainly it didn't seem like a great fit for me. And I think, too, you know, yeah, okay, you want to – he deserves a lot of credit for doing what he did at Rutgers. But turning Rutgers from, you know, a basement dweller into a pretty good program – you know, in the Big East is a very different challenge than trying to get, you know, Tennessee over the hump, you know, last season excluded. You know, they've been stuck in sort of mediocrity for so long. It's just a very different challenge. So, you know, bringing in Shiano just did not really make sense, especially if it's not an exciting hire either. So it just didn't really make sense. So I think it's tough because I thought Shiano was a bad hire, but I think that the Penn State stuff sort of taking front and center and people that were familiar with how just not really fair that was to Shiano, I think certainly that's where you're going to get that sort of disconnect. But I do think I don't understand the sort of Shiano, you know, I get that all the coaches love him and that he's like, you know, oh, he's, you know, the coach's coach and a guy that, you know, everybody respects in the business. But, you know, as far as if I'm a college football fan and he comes and coaches my team, I get not being excited about that. But I also don't think I felt bad for him in that, you know, his name is getting dragged up in this Penn State stuff where, you know, if you really look into it, it's not very substantial if people want to connect him to, you know, the worst scandal in college sports history.
Yeah, that is fair. David Ubbin here of The Athletic. What are Vol fans what can they expect from you coming in, different flavor? You've covered, you know, many Big 12 teams, a national media guy. You come in and live right here in Knoxville, and you're going to be covering Tennessee on a daily basis. And there are pay sites here that cover recruiting at a high level, and they've been here for a very, very long time. And you're coming in, obviously, with a different flavor, maybe model than those other two. Well, what can Vol fans expect when they sign up for The Athletic when they read you?
You know, I think, you know, perspective and insight are really the two things that we want to do. You know, I wrote about this in my intro post yesterday for why I joined The Athletic. It's free. I'd also like to say if people want to check that out. But the biggest thing is I want to tell people things that they don't know and make people think about things a little bit differently. It's going to be a fun job just because we're sort of, you know, figuring out what they are, what these jobs are as they go along. But ultimately, you know, I go back to kind of what I said. I want to tell people things they don't know and offer, you know, perspective and insight into what's happening at Tennessee. And I think certainly, you know, coming in with a fresh voice and the fact that I have been around a lot of different programs, you know, inside and outside of the Big 12 and have kind of seen how places operate, I think I can come in with an interesting perspective. And it's going to be fun to sort of see this play out and coming in at such an interesting time in Tennessee football history where, you know, they're starting a clean slate. You know, this might work. This might be great. This might not work. We'll see. You know, I don't think either outcome would really surprise me. I wrote about it a little bit, I guess a couple of years ago, you know, on how just the Sabanization of the SEC has just not worked. And then all of a sudden, you know, Kirby Smart happens and then really ruins that column, you think? But but ultimately, you know, there's been so many of those guys that have been hired and Tennessee experienced that with Derek Dooley that, you know, it seemed like that was going out of style. And I think with Jeremy Pruitt, you know, if he succeeds, I think they're going to reignite a whole other era of the Sabanization of the SEC. And if he doesn't succeed, he might, you know, completely, you know, sort of kill the practice in general of, oh, let's try to find the next Saban. So I'm really fascinated to see how this plays out. But for me, you know, I think I want to sort of just be an authoritative voice on the beat.
Well, and David, on that note, your first article for The Athletic concerning Tennessee, outside of the one that you wrote sort of about yourself and that transition over to The Athletic, the title of the article is Jeremy Pruitt's Vision for Tennessee's Future. Recruits can see it too. What is that piece about?
So it's basically just about the last month. You know, they've had such a great month at Tennessee with, obviously, I think Juanyan Morris is probably the biggest piece of that, adding him to the class. You know, you need bodies up front, and that's going to be huge for them, the five-star tackle from Georgia. And then Lakia Henry, I was able to talk to him. And I think, you know, the number one JUCO linebacker in the country coming to Tennessee. He committed, I guess, what, a week, 2 weeks ago. But I think when you look at that's basically what it's about, is just these 2019 kids, the first real class that he's going to have, the guys that are going to have an impact on this program, it's resonating with them. I think they see that, and you know, it's going to be a little bit different. He's got to prove it on the field. But his first real class, he's got to have a huge bump. And the last month, you know, he had that, you know, adding, you know, Romel Caton as well, a top 200 national recruit receiver. You know, that's been a big boost to them. And getting back into Georgia and winning for these elite recruits is big. And I think, too, you know, his message is resonating with guys like Henry, who are not really familiar with Tennessee. He'd never been to Tennessee. He had not been recruited by the previous staff. He didn't know anything about Tennessee. And they reached out to him in February, and, you know, now by May, he's the ball. And then you have guys like Jackson Lampley, who are sort of like Tennessee lifers, you know, a guy whose dad played, who's certainly around the program and around the area, is very familiar, and, you know, was already familiar with Butch Jones' staff, who've been recruiting him, and he likes what Jerry Pruitt is saying. So his message is sort of resonating with people from a lot of different perspectives, and ultimately it's paying off with Tennessee.
David, your take of Jeremy Pruitt so far, first question. And then the second question before we get you out of here is, I know with you just starting, there's a special there at the Athletic to promote your arrival here covering Tennessee. So first question is, I mean, just kind of give us your take on Pruitt. I know you officially started a couple of days ago, but you've been watching Tennessee for you to know the recruits that Tennessee's been getting over the last couple of weeks. You've been watching. So I know you have a great sense of what's going on here at Tennessee. Give us your take on Pruitt so far, and then let the good folks know how they can take advantage of the specials right now, Athletic.
I will do that. First off, it's theathletic.com All-American Expansion. You get 40% off. It's great. I think the main thing is, you know, we're going to be having a ton of coverage, especially in the SEC. But there's a lot of, you know, we're going to have a ton of stuff elsewhere. You can look around the Athletic's website and see all of those things. But as for Jeremy Pruitt, you know, I think as a first-year head coach, I think he's learning right now just how different the job is, even being a defensive coordinator under so many great coaches like he was, you know, including Nick Saban the last couple of years. You know, he's learning, I think, that there's a lot to do. I wrote this morning about the Darren Kirkland thing, and somebody asked him, you know, do you have a social media policy? you know, I got one, actually. And Darren Kirkland's Twitter has been deleted now. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's the biggest thing. I remember talking to Lincoln Riley last year, who obviously had a lot of success, got Oklahoma to the playoffs when a lot of people did not think that was going to be the case. And he said, yeah, you can be the wunderkind, the next big coach. But the biggest struggle when you take over as a head coach for the first time is time management, almost universally, because you have to wear so many hats. There's so many more responsibilities. It's more than just like more people know your name. You know, you're just everywhere. There's fundraising now. You're doing a lot more organizational recruiting and figuring out how to delegate and how to, you know, not micromanage, but just have your hands on. How to take a hands-on approach and how to delegate to your staff is really hard for young coaches, especially first-year coaches. And I think that's what he's going through right now in the offseason, is figuring out, okay, how do I want to put my imprint on this program? How much of, you know, Jimbo Fisher and Mark Richt and Nick Saban, how much of that is going to be in my program? And how much of my program is going to be who I am as a head coach and who am I as a head coach? You know, I think you saw it with his comments after the spring game of being displeased with Tennessee fans. Well, that was pretty interesting. I find his style is interesting. He doesn't suffer fools. He doesn't like a lot of questions. So
no.
It's going to be interesting. I think it's you know, it's just going to be fascinating to play out. I think his personality. I think it's like any coach. You know, if you win, the fans are going to love you know, who you are. If you're gruff or if you're loose, the fans are going to love it. And if you know, if you don't win, then people are going to be like, oh, he's, you know, he's too closed off. He's not real fun with players and all that stuff. So we'll see how it goes. I think he's going to be a guy that, you know, it could go either way. I'll say that. I think that's the way with any first-year coach, you know. as much as people like to get established guys, there have been plenty of guys that have had a lot of success in their first coaching job, and he might be one of them.
That's truth right there, man. If he's winning, whatever he's doing is the right way. If he's losing a little bit, whatever you're doing, you got to do the opposite. That's the reason why you're not winning, is you're not accessible enough. Practice is not open. And that's just part of it. When you're dealing with this passionate fan base in any school, they're going to be involved.
Kirby Smart has ruined the first year head coach experience for a lot of future first year head coaches. You know, a guy that came in there and all of a sudden, you know, a couple years in, a guy who's never been a head coach is playing for a national title against Nick Saban. So the expectations are going to be. I think he understands that. I think he knows. You know, anywhere in the SEC, there the expectations are going to be high, and that's no exception in Knoxville. But you know, it's, so like I said, figuring out what your program is going to be, who you're going to be as a coach, I think that's what he's going through right now in his first offseason. I think he's ready to kick it off.
Hey, well, David, man, we look forward to meeting you, man. Maybe we'll see you around in practice in the first, you know, 10, 15 minutes of practice when media is allowed. Maybe we'll get a quick introduction in then. at David Ubin there on Twitter, D-A-V-I-D. It's David. Everybody know how to spell that. But U-B-B-E-N is his last name, and you can follow him on Twitter. Covers Tennessee for The Athletic. And I encourage folks to check him out. They do some great things there at The Athletic, and David's one of the best in the business. So, David, thanks so much for your time, and be careful in your travels.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you. 865-255-03. Talked to Jabari Davis. We just talked to David Ubin here on the show from The Athletic, talking about Tennessee, Ubin, and we still have Max Olson coming up at 9:30. So
he's going to break down West Virginia for us. He covers the Big 12 for The Athletic. I guess we're promoting The Athletic.
Yeah.
Today we had Bruce Feldman on last week.
You're welcome.
The week before,
Stuart Mandel.
But I wanted to get Max Olson on because we had our conversation about West Virginia last week. You're kind of more encouraged about that game than I am. So I wanted to – and it so happened that day that Max Olson wrote a piece on West Virginia, broke down their team, so I figured he'd be a good get to kind of educate us on the Mountaineers.
Let's do it, man. We'll take a break, and we got some time to take some phone calls, get to the text box before we bring on our next guest, Max Olson, at 9:30. So Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Hour 3 is powered by Low T Center and lowtcenter.com.